The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Undersea cables and pipelines are hugely significant for us as an island nation, but the thousands of kilometres of pipelines around our shores are also of global significance. With about 75% of transatlantic cables coming through Irish waters, Ireland has been identified as what they call a significant choke point by a UN expert as a result. So how important are these cables? How vital is it that we protect them? Joining me to talk about this is Dr. Mark Mellett, Vice Admiral and former Defence Forces Chief of Staff. Mark, good morning and welcome.
Pat, it's good to talk to you again.
Now, let's talk about a choke point. What do they mean by that?
Well, it's a point where there is a kind of a lot of the cables come together as they come across the Atlantic route. And it's true, about 75% of the transatlantic cables pass over our continental shelf into our jurisdiction where we have sovereignty and sovereign rights, or close to our jurisdiction where we have sovereignty and sovereign rights. We have about 14 of these cables landing into the state itself, and a significant other number crossing over our area where we have a jurisdiction.
Now, these cables are put down, I suppose, largely by private companies. So does the Irish state have an obligation to protect private property in its waters?
Well, I think these cables are now identified as critical infrastructure, and critical infrastructure is very much linked with societal well-being. So whether we like it or not, these are a key component of our energy and our communications architecture. And we only need to look back in the last month or two on Aon, the impact of that storm and what happened when we had no energy and when we had no communications. Society suffers and the citizen suffers. So it's in the interest of the state, which has an obligation to actually provide an architecture for defence and security, to actually support the private industry in this sense. So it's a public-private partnership that's required here that keeps an economy going, that keeps a society well. And I would say, of course, the state has an obligation to provide support hand in glove with the industry.
Now, where are the points of vulnerability? When they're down, these cables are down, lying on the seabed, sometimes at depths which are far too great maybe for trawlers to snag them. Where are these vulnerable points?
Yeah, I think up to recently, it was the traditional, I suppose, mistake of maybe a fisher snagging a line in the course of trawling. But more recently, these have become, if you like, a sharp focus of a hybrid area of interest. And the Russian Federation in particular has actually pointed that it sees this type of infrastructure as something that it has its eyes on. In fact, the deputy chairman of the Russian Federation Security Council has said I think it was May of 2023, they have the capability to target this infrastructure and they believe that they're entitled to do so. And we've seen in more recent times the activities of Russian Federation vessels such as the Antar and others acting suspiciously in our jurisdiction and in our neighbour's jurisdiction. So there has been a change in terms of the vulnerability from the traditional kind of accidental or even seismic activity, in fact, has interfered with these cables in the past, to a real concern now that these are seen as a hybrid attack. And I suppose from a Russian Federation point of view, they have this, I suppose, effort to try and increase their power wherever possible. And for Russia to become stronger, all that needs to happen is Europe to become weaker. So interfering with infrastructure like this serves their goal.
Now, one of the problems, though, for Russia, and they've got to contemplate this if they are thinking about destroying some of these cables, it is the World Wide Web. And Russia benefits also from the interconnectedness of the World Wide Web. If they start chopping off bits of it, it no longer becomes the World Wide Web. And they themselves are not able to take advantage of the data that they might harvest from that web.
That's correct. And that's the reason why I would say any actions they'll take will be targeted in particular jurisdictions to impact particular areas. So and that's the concern. And it's not just about cables, of course. It's energy interconnectors in terms of electrical interconnectors, gas pipelines and more. So I think the real shock would be an area of interference with electrical interconnectors or a gas pipeline. And they are also targeting that infrastructure in terms of their intelligence gathering.
So they're mapping out these particular infrastructural essentials. Just to explain our vulnerability in that regard, I mean, we have still some Corrib gas, but we need to import more gas, and we certainly are using the interconnectors to import electricity. So our vulnerability would appear to be acute.
It is acute, and I think that's why I think our government has prioritised maritime capability and air capability as the two deficiencies we have in our defence capabilities. And that's been advanced now in terms of acquisition of these resources, but also examining ways in which we can have greater collaboration by joining, for instance, the Common Information Security Environment, which is CISA. We've just recently joined that, and that means we collaborate in terms of information exchange. So we have a more multilateral approach to providing the information exchange, but also the domain awareness. But there's no doubt that there is a steep hill to be climbed in terms of acquiring the capabilities. And this is a lot of new types of capabilities. Like, I think this is not just traditional, you know, ships at sea. This is about autonomous subsurface vessels. It's about greater domain awareness. It's about even using satellite technology to provide that domain awareness. And I see a huge opportunity for Ireland here in terms of its dual use tech industry. You know, companies like Cathix Ocean that are actually involved in artificial intelligence and machine learning subsurface in the capacity working with companies like Kongsberg, and then X-Ocean up in Carlingford that has an extraordinary fleet of autonomous surface vessels.
Now, the question of our neutrality, if we get into alliances with various military powers who might be doing the work for us, if you like, on subcontract, there will be people saying, hang on, this is interfering with our declaration of neutrality. What do you say?
Yeah, well, I think, first of all, the issue of military non-alignment is what we're dealing with here. The decision with regards to the use of our military forces is a competence of the state. And that's what it means. With regards to neutrality of the state, you can't be neutral in a globalised economy. We're not neutral in the context of our relationship with our partners in Europe. And we have not been neutral as a state since the foundation state. We were not neutral in the Second World War. We were not neutral in terms of our commitment to join the European Union and work with others. But we have remained militarily non-aligned. And joining, communications information sharing networks like CISA means that we can do so in a voluntary manner and share information that we wish to share, retaining the competence still for that decision to stay in the state. And, you know, the reality is for any military force to operate, it must operate in a shared international space. And that means working with partners on our left and on our right. And that means sharing information to understand what are the threats and the challenges. So that's going on since Adam was a child.
Now, the question of hardening these assets, I mean, in other words, protecting them. One of the points of vulnerability is where these cables come ashore, you know, if it's going to be difficult or almost impossible to hit them deep in the depths of the ocean, where they are vulnerable is when they come into the shallows and are very much within our territorial waters. What can we do there as a state?
Yeah, and you're hitting a very good point here. There are three domains to be watched here. Obviously, there's a maritime domain. There is a land domain where the cable landing station is. And there is also the cyber domain whereby these cables can be targeted by through cyber. So it's not just a single domain architecture required. It's actually a full three domain, in fact, four domain if you're taking space, that needs to be observed in terms of hardening this. So in terms of our own infrastructure, the critical piece is to have a domain awareness. And that's then to build up the capacity to understand what's happening in your jurisdiction, to have up-to-date data sets. And that is acquired, you know, through autonomous underwater vehicles that actually fly the line and actually then can very quickly see when there's a difference. If somebody has put a device that might be an explosive device beside a cable, you'll see that difference happen on your next flight. And then you can take measures to mitigate that. But it's all about, you know, a shared domain awareness, not just from a national point of view, but at a regional level, working with our neighbours. And because the targeting of our infrastructure is not just a matter in terms of societal well-being in Ireland, it's a matter in terms of the region. And we've as much an obligation to ensure that we look after the welfare of our neighbours as we have ourselves, because they do the same for us.
All right. On that note, Vice Admiral, former Defence Forces Chief of Staff, Dr. Mark Mellett, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.